Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Have you ever been there?
I was at a point where I wanted to quit, but I heard him.
Have you ever heard him call you? Somebody had that testimony.
This can't be.
Sometimes you gotta tell yourself that. I've been at a point where I want the Lord all over, and I wanted to quit, but I heard him call.
Ah, yeah.
That's somebody's testimony.
God is so much
bigger. God is bigger than what I'm going through.
I was at a point where
I almost quit. But I heard God calling my name. My God, the one I call on. He's bigger than the pain. I almost threw in the towel, but I heard him calling. It gave me hope. It gave me my joy. It gave me my faith. And I said within myself, my God is so much bigger than this. That's somebody's testimony. Anybody ever had to say that? Regardless of what others say, regardless of how bad it is, my God is bigger than this. I almost knew in the time, but I heard him call. He called. I heard him call. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for prayer. God is bigger than our situation, but God is bigger than our struggle. Called our name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is indeed a blessing to greet you on this morning here at Uplift Church. To all of our first-time visitors, thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning on Mother's Day. Can we give all of our visitors a round of applause celebrating them? Amen, amen, amen. I do this every week. May seem somewhat repetitive, but I really do mean it from my heart. We have a phenomenal Uplift staff. They are the ones who come in, who stack the chairs, who put the speakers up, who set up the Uplift Cafe. They're doing a phenomenal job. And so will you do me a favor and simply celebrate the amazing staff of Uplift Church with me? Amen. Amen. I'm so appreciative of them and for all that they do. Amen. Amen. It's Mother's Day, and normally we have our Uplift kids going. I made a decision we have a part in the service where the kids are going to play, and they're going to be a blessing to mothers. And so we wanted to invite them in for our worship experience on this Sunday. So I may have a few more amens because the kids are here. So when you hear them talking, I'm hearing it as an amen. I hope that you hear it as an amen as well. Well, brothers and sisters, normally I would be introducing a series at this time. We just finished up the series, I Am, dealing with the four of the I Am statements of Jesus. There are seven in the Gospel of John, and we dealt with four of them. Next week, we begin a new series called Multiply, where we deal with the fact that when you give God the little that you have, he's able to multiply it and make it much. As a matter of fact, our sermon this morning will hint a little bit on that. As we look to celebrate and to share with our mothers. I am so I'm from the country, so we would say hog happy. I'm glad to have my family up from New Orleans. It's a whole bunch of them. What you all may not know is that when my family travels, it's not one, it's not two, it's not, it's like 10 to 15 that come up from New Orleans. And so my sister Jewel just graduated from HU. And she didn't do it. Celebrated. So we have several Howard students here as well. My family says, so for my family from New Orleans, can you all just stand? I really want to appreciate you all for your tremendous support. So thankful for them as well. Because it's Mother's Day and because my mother is here, you all will hear a little bit about her in the sermon as well as some of our other family members. So this is my full warning to them that they're going to show up in the sermon. If you have your Bibles, your books of instruction before leaving earth, I invite your attention to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. We'll begin with verse number 7. I ask that you honor to God's word by standing once you found it. So if you turn in your Bible, scroll on your phone, your iPad, your Apple Watch, whatever little gadget you may have, we invite you to turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17. If you don't have a text, you can look on with your neighbor. It'll also be on the screen to make it easier for you. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I'm reading from the New International Version. Your version may read a little bit differently. As long as it's the Word of God, we are headed in the right direction. Here's what it says, 1 Kings chapter number 17. Sometime later, the book dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, him being Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. He came to the town gate. A widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." Woman's response was, "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, nor the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord send rain on the land." This is the word of God. For the people of God, the word of God is blessed. As you are taking your seat, will you help me introduce this morning's sermon? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. This morning's sermon is Mama Made It Work. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Neighbor. This morning's sermon is Mama Made It Work. Mama Made It Work. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I've prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see, open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mama made it work. Mama made it work. When it comes to making it work, I want to suggest to you that there are four kinds of people when it comes to making it work. There are those who have always had it like that. They've always had the resources that they need, and so for them, they don't really understand what it means to make it work. Then there are those who are snobetto, don't look it up, it's a made up Pastor Ball word, snobetto. It's when you take snob and you hook them up with ghetto. It's those people who used to be ghetto, they got a little bit and they became snobs, and you look at them like, Keisha, I remember when you used to knock on my door for sugar, but now they only eat at 5-star restaurants, that's snobetto. They forgot really what it meant to make it work. But then there are those who have made a little bit, but they haven't forgot how to make it work. Pastor, I got a little bit now, but listen, let something happen. I still know how to make it work. Then there's the fourth category. There's those people who will say, Pastor, I'm not in any of the other categories, but I am in the situation where I'm still making it work. I got here this morning by hooking some stuff up and just making it work. It's not a used to be for me. It's a very real reality for me. Some of us know a little bit about making it work. Will you do me a favor and help me share with your neighbor who has forgotten, who have never really understood it, what it means to make it work? Your amen is a simple help. You know what it means to make it work when you run out of ketchup and you don't throw the jug away. You open it up and put a little water in it and you shake it up. That's making it work. You know what it means to make it work when you ran out of Kool-Aid. That was the cheap thing. And you took water and sugar and you stirred it as much as you could till the sugar dissolved. That's how you to make it work. You know how to make it work when your Crest toothpaste runs out, but because you don't have any more money, you cut the bottom off and you squeeze some more out of it. Hold up, somebody said, Pastor, that's not all I do. After doing that, I cut along the side and I put my toothbrush in and I pull some more through. I know how to make it work. Some of us know what it means to make it work. Some of us can remember how mama made it work. You know what it was like when you could not afford both hair grease and lotion, so they took Vaseline to do your hair and they put it all over your skin. You look cute, but you were shiny at the same time because mama knew how to make it work. As a kid growing up, I knew all about hamburger helper. Listen, y'all, I mean cheesy burger, mac, classic, stroganoff, beef, pasta. We had all kinds of potato kind. The only problem was we had all the helper but no hamburger. Mama was just trying to make it work. On the flip side, my Aunt Eunice, she's here. She had all the food at her house. You go to her house, they got all kinds of food. My cousin looks like a bodybuilder. I look like this. It's because we had hamburger helper, no hamburger in the helper. Some of us can remember how mama made it work. Go back even further. You can remember how grandmama made it work. She used to go shopping and she never went to Giant. She didn't go to Whole Foods or Safeway. She went to the distribution center and got that box of food and brought it to the house. You know what's in the box of food. That's your Saturday morning cereal. It was not Fruit Loops. It was not Cocoa Puffs. It was not Cheerios. It was not Frosted Flakes. It was just cereal in a white box. That was the government distribution. And then when you needed cheese, you did not get Kraft. You had that square block of cheese that you had. And if you wasn't careful, it would get real hard on the end and you had to throw that away. It wasn't much, but mama knew how to make it work. Some of us can say, amen, I know a little bit about those stories. In the text, we see a mother who made it work. See a mother who made it work. First of all, here's what we see in the text. We see a mother's struggle. A mother's struggle. Here it is. Elijah has had a situation with King Ahab. Elijah has said there will be no rain on the land. And God said to Elijah, Elijah, you got to get away from Ahab. Ahab is going to kill you. I want you to go to a brook and I'm going to feed you there. Sometime later, the brook dried up. And now God says, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. There is a widow woman there that will provide for you. Here it is, brothers and sisters. We see a little bit about this woman's struggle. Let me help us to understand it. She is a widow woman and she has a son. Let me help us to understand that. Some of us not really catching it. She is a widow woman. She has a son. In our day and age, it's simply called, you are a single mother. She has a son. She's a single mama. Daddy's not there, not because daddy doesn't want to be there. Daddy is dead. We live in a day and age when fathers may not be there, not because they don't want to be there, but because we have a prison industrial system that will make sure they are not there. We have bullets from police that may make sure they are not there. And so they have so many mothers who are raising children when daddy is not there. But then come even closer. She lives in a society where she's devalued because of her femininity and because of that, even if she got some work, she won't make the same amount as the brother makes, and so she's still struggling just to make ends. Here she is, single mother, not really bringing in as much as others would bring in, and she's trying to provide for her child. The Bible says that when Elijah saw her, catch what he saw her doing, mama was struggling. Elijah saw her picking up sticks. Mama knew how to make it work. She's picking up stick. Elijah says to her, bring me a drink of water. She goes to get the water. She's trying to be nice to him. And then he says, bring me some bread as well. This is a single mother. She's poor. She's devalued in society. Brother, listen, I can help you with some water. I need you to understand, I don't have any bread to give you. Let me help us to understand that. Elijah says, go and bake me some bread, and God will extend what you have. Let me help us to understand what's going on here. We have a single mother. She's devalued in society. She doesn't make as much. She's picking up sticks just to make it work. And here's what he tells her, to bake me a cake. In Hebrew, there are words for this when it comes to baking a cake. There are two ways you could do it. There is ugga and ug. Don't worry about it. You won't remember. It's ugga and ug. Here's the difference. Ugga is a nice Hebrew word which means bake a cake on coals. Cake with coals and you bake a cake. Ugga is very different. Ug is very different. Ug means this. I want you to bake a cake, but you don't have any coals to bake it on. So what you do is you get dried dung. And you bake a cake on that. Let me help us to understand this. This mother's struggle is this. Mama don't have much. I don't even have coals, but mama knew how to take sticks and dung to make a meal for her child to eat. And some of us can understand that I've been in the point in my life where I had to make it work. Didn't have much, but I had to take the little that I had to provide for a child. Some of us saw mama taking the little that she had to provide for us to be here today. There's more. Check this out. There is anonymity in this text. Anonymity in the text. Anonymity means this. The person who the text is about has no name. There's anonymity in the text. Anytime you see anonymity in the text and a person has a story in the text, that's the writer giving you space to do what's called transference. Let me help us out. Transference is this. You read the text and there is no name for the mama in the text because it gives you the ability to put yourself in the mama's situation. That's anonymity in the text. And there's some mother here who knows all about the mother's struggle, who knows what it feels like to raise a child when you have little to no support, who knows what it feels like to work a job and make less money solely because you were born a female, who knows what it feels like to have your hand full of nothing, but still you make something out of nothing. Is there anybody that can say, Pastor, that's me? I know what it means to struggle, but to still make it work. I know what it means to have an empty refrigerator, but make a Thanksgiving meal. I know what it means to have the lights turned out, but have a candlelight dinner. I know what it means to go without so that my baby can have. I can identify with the mother's struggle. See the mother's struggle. But then, not only do we see the mother's struggle, we see the mother's faith. Elijah says to her, Mother, I know you're struggling, but there's a word from God. God says if you trust him with the little bit that you have, he will make sure that it doesn't run out. The mother does not even fight back. She doesn't say, I don't know about that. She doesn't say, I don't see how God is going to do it. The mother has enough faith to just trust God. Have you ever been in the point in your life where your struggle is so bad, you ain't even trying to fight with God anymore? God, if you don't do it, it won't be done. God, if you don't extend it, I ain't going to make it. I'm just going to give you the little bit that I have. I've got enough faith to believe that God can extend my resources. In the text, the mother had enough faith to believe that God could extend her resources. God is able to take our little and make it into much. He's able to take the little that we have and to multiply it. Let me give us a little bit of Bible to back up what I'm saying. Elisha was surrounded by enemies and he prayed, God, make those with me bigger than those against me. And though he was really by himself, the text said that he ended up having more with him than was against him. Somebody can say, God has done that in my life. The enemy has stacked the deck against me, but I still had God on my side. He was still more with me than those against me. In some, David wrote, I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Some of us can say, I've lived long enough to know that God will still meet my needs. I've never seen him leave me, nor forsake me. In Mark, we see Jesus take two fish and five little loaves of bread and feed 5,000. The God that we serve can take our little and make it much. The mother had faith. God, I'm going to trust you with the little bit that I have. Somebody here, you know what it means to have faith in God. You know what it means to trust God with the little bit that you have. You know what it means to jump in your car and you knew it was on empty because it was on empty when you parked it, and you just pray, God, I want you to just get me to where I am going. You know what it means to faith a check. You write a check and you pray, God, I pray some money shows up in my account. I'm just going to trust you. You know what it means. God, I don't have the money. Please don't let my lights be off. You go home every day expecting them to be off before some kind of way. God, that for week after week, and you just saying, God, I don't know how you're doing it, but I've got enough faith to believe that you can take my little and make it much. The mother had a struggle, but in her struggle, she still had faith in God. Then here it is, brothers and sisters. You see the mother's miracle. The Bible says that when she trusts God with the little that she had, God made sure that her resources did not run out. In the text, we see God taking little and making it more. Some of us are here today because all throughout our lives, God has taken our little and made it more. God is such an awesome God that he can make miracles out of bad situations. God is such an awesome God that you began to trust in him when you had no money, so that when you've got money, you know that God will always be in your corner. You don't get to be snobbish. You always remember, I got a little bit now, but if it ever falls back, I know that my God is a miracle worker. Who can tell? I'm here today because my God is a miracle worker. I am alive today because God took my little and made it into much. God makes a miracle out of the mother's struggle. I'm almost out of your way. There's a little bit more of anonymity in the text. It's Mother's Day. There's more anonymity in the text. Elijah talks in the text. The mother, who is not named, she still talks in the text. There is more anonymity in the text. There is child in the text. Child has no name. Child has no words. The writer gives us an opportunity to have transference, which means we put ourselves in the position of the child. There's somebody here today that understands mama got you through. Somebody here understood what it looked like to see your mother take sticks and dried dung and to make a meal for you to eat. Some of us knows what it feels like to see mother struggle with less but still make it feel like we had a lot. You know what it means for mother to take bread and you have a wish sandwich, but she made you feel like you were full. Some of us saw mother do that in our lives. And brothers and sisters, in the text, the child is anonymous, giving us an opportunity to have transfers. And I just want to know, if you were the child, what would your response be to mama today? Because the child is Hebrew, the child's response would be Tona, which simply means, mama, thank you. If the child was Arabic, the child would have to say, Shukran, mama, thank you. If the child was Bulgarian, the child would have to say, Barigatro, mama, thank you. If the child was Danish, the child would have to say, Tak. If the child was German, the child would have to say, Duncan. If the child was Hawaiian, the child would have to say, Mahalo. If the child were Indian, the child would have to say, Grazie. If the child was Japanese, the child would have to say arigato. If the child were American, the child would simply say thank you. But if the child had a mama like mine, the child would say thank you. Thank you for staying up late at night watching over me. Thank you for sitting in emergency rooms when I was sick. Thank you for working on school projects. Thank you for praying for me when I was acting up. Thank you for showing up at the school to make sure I graduated. Mama, thank you. I want to know, is there anybody here that has a mama? Thank you. Thank you for making it work when we had nothing. So the God that I serve was able to take my little and make it much. Mama made it work. Brothers and sisters, if mama's still living, call and say thank you. If mama has gone on to be with the Lord, simply send up a prayer. Mama, mama, thank you. If there's a mother here right now, know that God can still take your little and make it much. And for that, you ought to tell God,
thank you.
Some of us knows what it means to see God take our little and to make it into a miracle. Let's pray. God, we come before you. We thank you that in the text we can see that mama made it work. We thank you, Lord God, that some of us are here today because mama made it work. Mama didn't have much, but mama knew how to pray. Mama didn't have a lot of money, didn't have degrees, but she had faith and trust in you. Mama didn't have a bachelor's or a master's or a PhD, but she knew how to major in kneology, and she called on you. Because of her kneology, we are here. Well, we thank you. We thank you for mamas who know how to make it work.
Yes.
Who know how to take an empty refrigerator but still make sure the children were fed. Yes. Mothers who are willing to sacrifice and to go to bed hungry to make sure their children ate.
Yes.
Mothers who work extra hours just so a child could pay for a book in college. Thank you. Thank you for mothers who didn't mind sitting in emergency rooms. Mothers who did not mind staying up late. Mothers who cried in the midnight hour. God, protect my child. Cause of that, God, we're going to give it. Because mama made it work.
Thank you, God.
Father, we pray now for all mothers who are here. For mothers who are struggling. Saying, I can identify with that mother's struggle. God, I pray now that you would strengthen their faith. That they be willing to trust you even with the little that they have. Because the God that we serve is bigger than this. The God that we serve won't let us give up in this. The God that we serve won't let us bake our last cake and die. But the God we serve is able to take the little that we have and make it run on. So Father, we pray now that you would strengthen mothers. That you would strengthen mothers to be examples to children so that years later, the children will know what it means. And when struggle comes, they can still call on your name.
Yes.
And when difficult times come, they can still believe that you can work miracles. But I pray now that for anyone under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of sins, pray now that you would touch them.
Yes.
Touch them to help them to see, Lord God, that this mother's struggle also